Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by the Annie Selke Companies, makers of everything from rugs and bedding to pillows and furniture. And it turns out that Annie approaches her products not just as a designer, but also as a scientist of sorts.
So stay tuned for that story and a 15% off discount code and visit annieselke.com/YHL to learn more.
I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today we learn what does and doesn't make a good house flip from some Virginians you'll be seeing on your TV really soon. We also dig up some HGTV host secrets, and we break down how we finally cut the cable. We did it, guys!
Hey, everyone!
We're back!
What do you mean we're back? We were back last week.
We're back every week.
You're going to start every episode saying, I'm back!
Here I am again! It's Monday! Well, the exciting news, if you couldn't hear the triumph in my voice, is that, you guys, we cut the cable. Remember how we were talking about how we were completely overwhelmed with how to get off the bundle, which is cheap for the first year and then so expensive after that? Not only do we get off the bundle, we still have TV, internet, and phone, but we're saving almost $1,000 a year. And I am thrilled and so excited. And at the end of the year, I want to buy something cool with $1,000.
Pillows. Most likely pillows.
Ceramic animals, pillows, earrings.
Well, first of all, thank you guys all for your suggestions and advice and stories about how you guys have been able to cut the cable cord in your own homes. It was really helpful and helped us figure out sort of how we could get there. But there were kind of two big hurdles that we kept bumping into that we were able to get over finally. The first, we talked about, we needed a home phone. We have bad cell service here. We also needed it for our alarm, but we figured out how to get over that. We switched our alarm company and we got a new phone service called
Uma.
O-O-M-A.
I'm picturing her like Uma Thurman. She's a phone with attitude.
So thank you guys for suggesting Uma. It's basically this internet-based phone that runs off a little device that was what, like $80?
Yeah, so it's $80 you pay in, and then Uma works just by piggybacking off of your internet. And so your phone is essentially free forever, every single month, except you pay taxes and fees, which in our area are something like $5 or $6. They're very inexpensive.
But we were still having the second roadblock, which was actually getting our Verizon bill down enough to make it worth switching over to these other things.
Yeah, because I had mentioned last time that I called and said, hey, I want off the cable from the bundle. It's too expensive. Every year it's getting more and more. I mean, it was up to, I thought it was $140. And then when I was looking at the bill with taxes and fees and like the additional box, it was $169 a month.
And then we'd like rent a movie.
It was bad, guys. So I essentially was like, we need to get off the cable part of this to save money, expecting it to go down by, I don't know, a third. And it didn't. They were like, guess what? You can save $20. And I was right. Like, no.
So all these other services, these replacement services people were suggesting, like Sling or PlayStation View or Hulu, they just basically ate up all the savings and we were back where we started.
Right. They were awesome ideas if we could get internet down. But without getting internet down, they were essentially putting us right back at that $160, $170 mark, which is too insane to spend every month on this stuff. So the triumph is that after calling Verizon the first time, we figured out how to get rid of phone. Also with the Uma device. And then I called back and got the sweetest woman from Verizon on the phone. And I said, listen, all I need is internet. I don't need phone. I don't need TV services at all. I'm sending all the boxes back. What can you do for me? And she started crunching numbers. And I said, by the way, and I think this was key. I said, I did call Comcast, which is a competitor to Verizon. And I said, they quoted me $59 a month for internet. That is true. I did. And there's something like BPMS or Mbps. It's some measurement of how fast your internet is. I'm probably saying that wrong and you're laughing. So I called them and I said, I'd rather maintain my service with you. You see, I've paid bills for like many, many years.
Yeah, we're good customers. Keep us.
And so she crunched the numbers and she said, I do not want you to go to Comcast. I think, guys, the key was having a specific number from a specific competitor. And even when she's saying, well, what's the speed? Is that a really slow speed? And I could say, no, the speed is just like you guys provide me now. She got it to $54 a month. So we're getting internet for $54 a month. We're getting Uma the phone. We're paying just taxes and fees, which is like $5 or $6 a month. And we did PlayStation View, which is this awesome service we get through our Roku player, which is just a device that streams. And that's $29 a month for the PlayStation View. Altogether, it's $88 a month. And it used to be $169 a month. So we're saving around $82 a month, which adds up to $984 a year, which is almost $1,000.
Sherry just threw out a bunch of very technical numbers, and I like want to put an asterisk because we're still in like our first month of these, so our bills are still coming in for the first time.
Right, but I was very careful when I got these quotes. That Comcast one is locked in for 2 years with an option to renew at the same...
You mean Verizon?
Oh, yeah. That Verizon one is locked in for 2 years with an option to renew. So she said it's not like in a year going to go to 100. Because that's the problem, right? We get these bundles at $99. And then literally, I think ours went from 99 to 120 to 140. And then it was 169, basically 170.
Yeah, and I think we'll write a post about this, breaking it down a little bit more and also answering some other questions about these services. I don't want to get too technical on the podcast. But I did want to say here that it obviously impacted our viewing habits a little bit. Sherry still has her Bravo. PlayStation View has Bravo.
It's amazing. Yeah, I learned that Sling and PlayStation View both have Bravo. We played around with both of them and just liked the experience of PlayStation View more. Also, there's an app by Bravo. Is it an app? Would you call it that?
It's like Bravo. It's just a channel. A lot of TV stations have their own streaming channels. Some of them you can access for free, but some of them will ask you to sign in with your cable provider. So like we were running up against a wall where we couldn't use the Bravo Now channel because it was asking for our Verizon account. If we got rid of Verizon, what were we going to do? Well, you can sign into that channel with your PlayStation View account. So even if you don't necessarily like the PlayStation View interface, you can use those login credentials to go to a prettier interface like the Bravo one or the HGTV one or whatever other channel you get within your PlayStation View or your Sling service.
If you tried to talk to me about this a month ago, I'd be like, my eyes are glazing over. This sounds way too complicated.
And now she's psyched and amped up about it, guys.
So I think the key is we'll write a post and fully explain everything and take pictures and share experiences.
I don't know what pictures they're going to make.
Like me holding my Roku happily.
Exactly. Making a phone call on Uma.
Yeah, this is my phone.
No, but I was trying to say that it does mean like we basically have to on demand anything we watch. So we have to go into an interface and locate the show. It's not like a DVR where things automatically record for you like right. we used to before.
You either find them on demand on like the Bravo Now channel, or you can watch live. We've discovered yeah. that. So at any point, if something's like if I know, ooh, Housewives, 9 o'clock, I'll sit down with my hot tea. I can turn it on and watch it live. So it's not like you'll miss things live if you want to watch them live.
I feel like it is a little bit of a step backwards than what I've been used to because like now we watch commercials again.
Right. Well, I think now during commercials, I just run around doing stuff. And the thing I like about it is it usually tells you how long the commercial break is.
That's true.
So it will say like a minute and 30. And
yeah, it's like on YouTube, it's like, content will resume in 1 minute.
Right. And I'm like, ooh, a minute and 30 seconds. I'll go upstairs and turn the laundry.
I think it also may actually have us watch less TV.
I do too.
Which will be good for us.
Because we used to have things waiting in a queue. You know, you'd go to
it was
to
like
your,
a to-do list. Like,
your
oh
DVR.
My gosh.
Yeah, we have all of these shows.
Sherry's like, I have 6 Housewives to catch up on.
It is helping us cut down because we're definitely watching things we really love. And you had to work for it at first. You had to figure out where they were and learn how to use the new interface. But you don't want to do that for shows you're kind of meh about.
Well, I feel like that was a long enough what's new for both of us.
Yes.
So I'm going to transition us to a little segment you dubbed, Bet You Didn't Know. Is that what we called it?
I think we decided to call it Quick Tip.
Oh, did we?
Whatever it was called, it had some amazing intro music.
So have you guys ever noticed like on most brooms or dustpans or even like your Swiffer wet jet, there's like a little hole or ring at the top of the handle? That, my friends, if you didn't already do this in your house, is so that you can hang it up more easily. And I did this a few months ago after we actually got our floors refinished in our hall closet where for months we had just had our like broom and dustpan and Swiffer just like tossed in there in a jumble that somehow managed to always be tangled every time I tried to get one single item out.
Yeah, like they just fell on you when you opened the door. If you reach, I would reach you with the hand kind of closing the door so they hit the door when they fell on me instead of hitting my face.
So we had to clean everything out when we refinished the floors and when we were putting it back in, I was like, I am not going to create this chaos again. So I just took nails, honestly, and just tapped a few nails into the sidewall so that the hooks or holes or rings on the top of these cleaning tools could just hang without resting on the floor.
So now the closet is so much more organized.
It's a joy to open.
It's a joy. Well, what I was going to say is I think our instinct is like, ugh, I need to do something about all these things that fall on me. I probably need to go to some store and look at things that like have handle grabbers or like...
Oh, right. Like all those organizers for a garage.
Right. Like you almost think it needs to be like a rail that has arms that snap around to hold a pole. But like in reality, these things, if you look at these tools, they are made with a hole so that you can hang them on a nail. And so for free with things you already have in your house, you can deal with this problem. And yes, it might not look like it should be in Martha Stewart Living. It's just things hanging on nails, but it's really nice.
I was thinking, I'm not even sure I can take a picture of this because some of ours like rest on the back wall, but they're all nestled and it's great because I know exactly where they are and just having a spot for them also is a big encouragement to put them back. I realize this may be something a lot of you guys are already doing or does not seem that earth-shattering, but I bring it up because if there's anyone who has not done it yet, like we haven't done for years, I politely suggest you take just a few minutes to grab a couple nails, tap them into the wall, and hang up your broom, your mop.
Your dustpan has it. You know, even a little dustpan has it that can hang above or below everything.
It has been a simple step to making our closet a bit more organized and has clearly impacted me so much that I'm bringing it up on the podcast.
It's changed his life, guys. He's a different person.
I could hardly sleep from the excitement.
That's me with cutting the cable.
True. No, actually, I have the most excited thing.
What is it?
It's a game. So in this little quiz section of the show, we often give each other a list of items on which most are real, but one is made up. And the other person just has to guess what's real and what's not. So today, my list comes from an awesome BuzzFeed article I found. I was laughing out loud on the couch about this. It's called 21 Secret-ish Facts About HGTV Designers. And it's kind of the variety. Remember the other day you came across that old video of Joanna Gaines? Like,
yes, she was selling tires, guys. Tires.
It's like an old tire commercial she did.
You will love the service, but it's Joanna Gaines. So you're like, it looks fake. It looks like someone photoshopped her into it, but it's really her.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast, as well as this article and some of the things from it, because there are 21 facts similar to that. I'm going to give you five. One of them is fake. Number one, Christina from Flip or Flop has her own yoga DVD.
Oh, I believe that times 100. Yes.
Hillary from Love It or List It was in the Rocky Horror Picture Show movie.
I really like Hillary. I think she was. She's sassy.
Carter Oosterhouse was a suitor on the first season of The Bachelorette Canada.
Oh, geez. I was about to say no because I know he wasn't in America's Bachelorette, but he could have been Canada. Carter Oosterhouse? I'm saying yes.
The Property Brothers released a country music version of Flo Rida's My House.
That could have been what made you roll, which means it could be true, because that sounds very funny.
And Scott McGillivray from Income Property was in a boy band called Next Element.
That's true. I know that. So what's going to be fake? I think the fake one is the Carter Oosterhouse one.
You were so convinced a moment ago.
I know, but now I'm going back. The other ones I feel like, yes. And that one I'm like, maybe not.
Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it.
Well, my dear, you are correct.
Oh, goody, goody. He is cute, though, but, I mean, I thought we'd know that if that had happened, right?
Because you're way up on The Bachelorette Canada.
But is there even The Bachelorette Canada?
There is, Sherry.
I didn't even know that existed.
I double-checked this just to make sure my fake fact was grounded in some sort of reality. yeah, you can see some pictures of some of these things on the list, which I'll link in the show notes.
The Property Brothers one is the one that had you dying, right?
Oh, yeah. The other funny part about it is there's a whole music video.
Oh, my God.
And there's two people from Bachelor in Paradise in the video. I'm just going to play a clip of this because...
It's too good.
Yeah. The video has a real estate theme to it.
That's the guy who does the demo. I think the realtor is the backup singer.
Oh, he has this moment. Don't worry.
Okay. Not a bad voice, though.
No. It's just funny to hear a Flo Rida song.
That's right.
Performed by the Property Brothers.
There are also babes in the pool in bikinis, and they're in a house.
Okay, the chorus is coming up, though.
Okay, here we go. Sometimes you gotta say, yeah, yeah. Welcome to my
house. Okay, I think that's enough.
I wanted to see Jonathan's moment.
You can watch it later. I don't want to get into rights issues.
Well, guys, you learned something new today. Did you know that existed? Because I sure didn't.
Again, the perfect storm of Flo Rida, Property Brothers, this random couple from The Bachelor. Remember Evan and the skinny guy?
Yeah, they were in love.
Yeah.
Remember, she didn't like him. She was so grossed out when he kissed her, and then she loved him.
Yeah. So you can see them kiss again in the video.
Wow.
Which will be linked at younghouselove.com/podcast. Fulfilling all of your Property Brother music needs. And again, you can also see the list there, too, that has the 21 other facts. Some of them are a little bit lame.
Oh, but really?
Some of them are gems.
That was a gem.
Well, and actually, speaking of HGTV, we are now going to give a ring to some local Richmonders, some people who live here in our city, who have a show coming up on HGTV this weekend. It's a pilot called Richmond Rehabbers.
And we're the most excited because, you know, we're Richmond obsessed.
Yes. Anything about Richmond?
We're in.
Yes. So we're going to give a call to Josh and Brees.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
We were so excited when we heard you guys were getting a show. It's awesome for Richmond. It's awesome for you guys.
Yeah, we're pretty proud about how it portrays Richmond because it's beautiful. And yeah, we're super excited about it.
We are very excited to see it. But I figured before we dive into everything, you know, we're familiar with you from living in the same town, but some of our listeners may not be. So why don't we kick things off by just like, in a nutshell, why don't you tell everyone who you are and what you do?
So we're Cobblestone. We buy houses in the Richmond area, renovate and sell. We also work with the public as realtors.
And you guys are married?
We're married.
Tote's married.
Like 100%.
That's always the nicest way to be married. Be all in.
That's right, exactly.
You know, you guys identify yourselves as house flippers, but sometimes that term kind of gets used in like a negative accusatory way.
Like you use duct tape and spackle.
Yeah. I know. When you said house flippers, I went.
Flipping has that, exactly like you said. It's got this negative connotation to it. And we want to show that we're modelers and that you can flip a home and not do those things and cut corners and not set your city up for terrible things. You want to take every opportunity and maximize it. So we go in knowing that we're going to do everything to the house and making sure that the homeowner is set up for success. That's more important than money.
Well, I mean, in most of these homes we're renovating, they're, you know, 100 years old. And so the plumbing is bad. There's knob and tube electrical, which is insanely dangerous. So we're doing all new plumbing, all new electrical insulation, all new drywall. Most of the time we have to replace the joists in the floor. So it's more than just flipping. It's really bringing these beautiful old homes that are definitely quality. They might not be when we buy them anymore, but it's bringing them back to life. Because when you're buying a house, I mean, that's where your life is. And you should be able to come home at the end of the day and just live in your home and not worry about, you know, is today the day my house is going to catch on fire because the electrical behind the wall is terrible.
I think that's part of the reason why that flip term has gotten kind of that baggage, because I think a lot of people, when they hear house has been flipped, they have those question marks like, well, what is going on behind the walls? Like, did they just slap some new paint on stuff and put like new flooring down, but not even look at what was going on with the electrical or the plumbing? So I think it's really reassuring that folks like you are kind of helping redefine that term and make people realize that it doesn't mean just that.
Well, I think the term flip even sounds like it takes you a second, like you flip a coin and it's done. How long does it take you guys typically when you're rebuilding these old homes?
It ranges, varies from either 90 days to 160 days, depending on the scope of work and the size of the house. We do ground up new construction, and we'll also do the pop-a-top. And
wait, what does pop-a-top mean?
It's like they take a cool ranch and they turn it into like a two-story. I follow you guys on Instagram.
I just didn't realize that was the name for it.
Yeah.
That's Josh's name for it.
That's right.
Good old Papa Top special.
Trademark Josh Romano.
I'm sure that takes no time or money and it's just so easy to just pop the top.
Yeah, it's popped out.
Well, I want to ask... Oh, sorry. That was not one of our 100% married moments.
After you.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys some questions for anyone who's listening who might want to get into doing something you guys do. Maybe not a whole business around remodeling, but like they want to maybe flip their first property. What do you wish someone had told you before you did your first flip?
Don't do it.
Yeah, run away.
I actually have a good story for this. There's a couple young guys who come to me and they ask me questions, and I'm happy to answer the question. One, I don't want them to waste time and get hurt. Two, I also want the house to be done right because, again, it's our city. We want to protect our city and make sure that houses are getting done right. So the big first move is to take the drywall down, take all of it down, especially if there's knob and tube. You want to make sure that you're not leaving that stuff behind. To me, as a Class A contractor, I can't in good conscience do that. I want to take it all down, make sure it's all done right, re-insulate the walls, put it all back up. It's actually faster than patching drywall. So that's one of the things I probably should have done in the very beginning.
And I wish we had had this conversation like 8 months ago.
We debated the agonized. We have half drywall, half plaster at our beach house, but so much mold and termite damage. So clearly everyone who looked at it, the inspector, we hired a structural engineer, our contractor, everyone was telling us you need to strip it all out. And we're like, but it's a lovely old home. I hate to take the old plaster, the plaster's character.
Would be the same way.
Yeah, cut to us taking it down and literally studs that don't exist because the termites ate them. Like so much damage. And you're completely right. It's like, why did we agonize? Everyone was telling us to do that.
Yeah, I know. I understand. I totally get where you're coming from. Brees and I know it's painful for her to see plaster come down, but I just, you know, that's where I have to draw the line.
What we finally also told ourselves is the most charming thing about this house is not its plaster.
Right.
Right.
The floor plan, the trim work, you know, some of the old little details, like we've got a tiny back staircase. Like those are the things that bring the charm, whether it's drywall or plaster on the wall. Like that is a minor detail in the end.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have heard that general idea of, you know, if you want to renovate a property or you want to flip a property, like buy the worst house in the best neighborhood. Besides that, are there any other things for you guys that make a house a really good candidate?
Well, the one thing that kills me is this. There's people that do these seminars and they paint this picture of how easy it is. And Brees and I are realtors and contractors, and it's still, we're telling you, it's not what it looks like on TV. We spend a lot of time agonizing over the market, watching what's happening, trends, design. There's a lot of moving parts. So those seminars, what I don't like is that they're saying, oh yeah, max out your credit card. And
yeah, I can't think of any good advice that starts with max out your credit card.
You know, I'm not saying there's some people out there that don't do great seminars. I'm just saying there's some out there that seem like they're not really giving the best perspective. But looking in houses, I would be an expert in that market. Do houses that are that you feel comfortable with and really understand what's selling and why it's selling. Mm-hmm. Answer those questions first and then do the math. I'm big on math. I do a lot of math.
I'm the terrible one at the math. I do the pretty things and, you know, most of the creative stuff. I let him stick to the math. We divide and conquer in that aspect.
Yes, we do.
Well, whenever Sherry and I consider these things, because we've dreamed about taking on a project like that at some point, you know, something that we're not going to live in, but we're going to eventually sell. And we always have this debate as to whether we should go for like a smaller home that will be an easier project, but probably have like a smaller margin, or if we should go for like the big house in a bigger neighborhood where you might get that greater margin in the end, but you're going to have to put in higher end finishes and all that stuff.
We find the easier ones for us and the ones we can count on selling and, you know, getting a good number are the lower end ones. We do a lot from, you know, 250 to 350 price range. You know, you can still put beautiful finishes in and not spend a ton of money. And, you know, especially for first time home buyers, you know, that price point is perfect. The ones that are over 500, it seems like 500 is like a magical number. Anything over that, it's a different ball game. It's a different buyer. It's a different standard of finishes. And so those houses are more challenging.
How do you guys juggle that competing need of wanting to make something that's beautiful and interesting and not, you know, too cookie cutter, but at the same time, making sure it has some mass appeal to that range of potential buyers?
I always like to give people kind of a clean, crisp backdrop for them to do whatever they want to color-wise with through paintings that you hang on the wall, pillows that you put on your sofa, rugs that you throw down. So we use a lot of grays and whites. I love White Dove, which is a Sherwin-Williams. Also love Pure White, which kind of has a little bit grayer tint to it. So it's not just completely stark white. From day one, I feel like we've been using Benjamin Moore, Stonington Gray, Revere Pewter we love. I'm loving darker grays right now, like Chelsea Gray and even Kendall Charcoal. You know, it's funny, we get a mix of people who know exactly what they want and then people who have no idea what they want and they need a lot of direction.
Is there something that you've ever dreamed of sort of selling a client on trying with their home, but nobody is like experimental enough to try it?
That's mostly me. I keep presenting things and nobody likes my ideas.
Oh.
I'm like, why? It seems so cool. And they're like, no.
That's not
I'm going to talk to Brees.
I feel you, Josh. I've been there.
You know, it's usually some sort of like funky tile that I'm obsessed with and that I want to put into a house. And somebody's like, no, I really just like the white subway. And it's usually little things like that or, you know, a light fixture that I'm obsessed with that somebody else might not be. But it's really great because our clients that we have come to us because they know our style. They know the work we do. And so they're already coming into this very trusting and open to hearing our thoughts and our design ideas. So it's a good collaboration.
Is there ever something that you guys see in a house that is just a no-go, like a non-starter? So if someone out there is buying their first home and they see this, you might be able to warn them and tell them to run.
Yeah. I've got like a team of people who are trying to hold me back always. I'm like, yeah, we're doing it. We're trying this out. And they're like, no, Josh, it's not going to happen. I'm like, no, it's going to be awesome.
I mean, from a realtor standpoint, I'd say like, I mean, major things would be going into a house and there being a sag in the floor, which usually means that there are some foundation issues or, you know, major, major cracks and shifting in a house, you know, but Josh is right. Like we see it all and we usually are buying like the worst houses that are practically falling down and we have to pick them back up. But that's just because we can and we have the team around us to do that.
So let me ask you this. I think, you know, people might be listening that there's a lot of makeover shows out there. There's even a few out there with a husband and wife team. What are they going to see different on yours?
Big thing is going to be, I think, the characters. It's just not a husband and wife team. You see, my dad's an old Italian man. He's very sweet and he's very funny in his own way. And he kind of just shuffles around and likes to tell me how to do things.
I have an Italian mom and she likes to tell me what to do also. It's an Italian thing.
He's off the pops. He basically knows how to flip a house backwards and forwards. But anyway, and then we've got two other guys who are on the show who work for us. So you'll see the dynamics of all of us working together. It's a family business. We all hang out together. It's real. It's very authentic. Everything we do on TV is the same thing we're doing off TV. We all genuinely like each other.
It's a bunch of young people, well, except for Pops. But we're all working to better the city of Richmond. And it's definitely a group effort. It's not just me and Josh running everything. It definitely takes an army around here to get these things done.
This house is pretty dramatic. That's where the drama is coming from. I mean, there's a lot of cool scenes. I really can't elaborate too much on it. You got to tune in to see that.
So did you guys fix up one house in Richmond and then we just get to see the kitchen, the bathroom, a bedroom?
So, I mean, it's very much, you know, the format of we have clients. We're taking them to these really scary houses that like are almost falling down and just so gross. And we're like, which one do you want?
And they're like, neither.
Right. And they're like, I don't know. And we're like, just trust us. You know, and then they pick one. And then the show follows the beginning to end of that one house. So I'm just going to throw this out into the universe. If and when, you know, the show gets picked up and we get to do a season, it'll continue to be, you know, one house per episode.
Well, and I also read that your renovations, since they take place in kind of maybe a more urban environment than some of the other shows we see on TV, that there's some different kind of curveballs that we might get to see versus your like standard suburban project.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these houses we do, I mean, we mainly focus in the city. We've done some houses outside of the city, but the city houses, I mean, some of them are attached row houses, which is challenging just work-wise, you know, getting a dumpster in some place or, you know, they're really close in proximity to neighbors where you have to just kind of, you know, be more aware. Like you can't just rip something off a house. It has to be done very strategically so it doesn't hit the house that's, you know, 3 feet next door.
And your design's different.
Well, yeah. And I think a lot of the shows that are on right now, which I am an HGTV watcher, like I am the fans of all the other shows that are, you know, that are on right now. I feel like we bring a little bit more of an urban design and feel, kind of, you know, industrial, modern, but also trying to keep within period of the house that we're renovating at the time.
Well, we are very excited to see it and we're excited to tell all of our listeners to check it out so they can see you guys and see Richmond.
We are so excited for Richmond. We're so proud of this city. We, you know, proud of everybody who's doing amazing, cool things. You guys being one of them.
Yeah, you guys have done an amazing job for Richmond.
Yeah, that just bringing light on this amazing city that we live in, and just excited to show everybody.
Well, thank you. It's been awesome to talk to you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. So again, Josh and Brees' show, Richmond Rehabbers, is airing this weekend, Sunday, May 7th, on HGTV at noon. That's 12 p.m. Again, Richmond Rehabbers. We'll put all the info in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast, along with a link to their website so you can see some of the work that they have done around town here in Richmond.
Okay, next up we have We're Digging, and I am digging something exceptionally nerdy, but first we have to take a quick break.
As you guys heard, this episode is brought to you by the Annie Selke Companies, which include bedding and rug brands like Dash and Albert and Pinecone Hill.
And we actually got to talk to Annie Selke herself. She was telling us her background, and she mentioned that she studied textile science in college. And of course, the mention of science piqued John's curiosity.
What exactly is involved in learning about textile science?
It's, you know, how are things woven? Tensile strength, like how strong is a fiber? You test that and you figure out different types of dyes and they react to fibers differently. Polyester gets color a different way than cotton does. And I mean, there are just so many specifics. You know, I think my senior paper was about the differences between 100% cotton corduroy and cotton polyester blend corduroy.
So to read Annie's senior paper about those differences, just kidding. But you can learn more about Annie and see her designs by visiting annieselke.com/YHL. That's AnnieSelke.com/YHL.
And while you're there, use code YHL15 at checkout to save 15% off any Annie Selke order, from rugs and bedding to furniture and more. That code again is YHL15, and it's good through June 30th.
I just saw what Sherry's digging, and yes, it is extremely nerdy. But first, the music.
Okay, when I'm digging, I actually put a picture on Instagram stories, so for like a hot 24 hours, someone could have caught this, but it's me modeling my amazing wireless headphones.
Nerd.
Nerd. And I love them so much. First of all, they're rose gold in color, and they're made by LG. And I'll put a link in the show notes to them. I found them on Amazon, but they have terrible reviews. But I'm here to say I have them and they're great. So I don't know if you get them and you don't know how to use them. You can break them, certainly. They have these little earbuds that come out from... Essentially, it looks like...
Yeah, people are not gathering this. This looks like almost a necklace.
Right. Well, what I was going to say is, if you guys know that guy from Star Trek who had the thing over his eyes...
Oh, LeVar?
Yeah, he had the thing over his eyes that looked like a headband that dropped off his head onto his eyes.
This is a terrible analogy, though.
So picture a headband, but instead of going over your eyes, it goes around the back of your neck like a snake.
No,
like Britney Spears.
No. It's like a rose gold horseshoe.
Okay, it's like a rose gold horseshoe. And then throw it over your back of your neck. I'm putting it on the air, and I'm flipping my ponytail over it. Now it's sitting sort of gently resting on my collarbone. It's very comfortable. It doesn't feel like I'm wearing big statement jewelry. It's fine. It's light. I love the rose gold color because it blends in with my skin, making me look slightly less nerdy, I think. And it just has little buds, like earbuds at the end, that you pull out gently. I believe the bad reviews are because people like yanked them out, which anything will break. They're on a tiny cord.
Well, you know that feeling when you're so excited to listen to a podcast.
You gently pull them out. They have a self-stopping feature. And you put them in your ears and they're very soft and comfortable and you essentially feel nothing. You don't have the long cord that gets caught on things, because I'll tell you a little
story.
Yeah,
this is the real reason you love these.
The reason I love them is I edit the podcast. So John edits it on the computer, but I listen to it.
You review the edits.
Right. Like,
and
I
make notes.
I say that part was confusing. I think we need to do a pickup, or like, oh, now we're ready to put it on iTunes, it's done.
Or John, you sounded too sexy in the part. We need to tone it down.
Just bring it back a little bit. So anyway, I walk around the kitchen listening to the podcast every week. And when I did it with normal earbuds, like a normal person, I kept getting caught on our cabinet knobs. I'd be walking, And it would either stop the podcast completely, because if it pulls the earbuds out of the phone, it actually pauses things. Did you know that? If the earbuds are forcibly yanked out, it will pause it. But sometimes it would just yank them out of my ear and it would keep going. So then by the time I collected myself and put it back on, I'd like have missed 15 seconds.
You'd miss the sexy parts.
Exactly. So the reason I love my wireless headphones is I don't get caught on the cabinet hardware anymore. So I'll put a link to these in the show notes. They have them in other colors if you don't want rose gold. If you want your husband to steal them, you can get them in black.
And if it wasn't clear, they connect to your phone via Bluetooth.
Right. I love them.
Well, and this week, I am digging fans. Yes, because it is getting hot.
Wait, you missed a serious pun.
What, that I'm a fan of fans?
Yeah.
Please, I used that like 3 years ago when I wrote a post about fans.
Sorry.
Can't fall back on my old tricks. No, it's getting hot, and people often ask us how we live without having ceiling fans in our house, because we typically are fans of light fixtures in our rooms versus having a ceiling fan. So what we have been doing over the years is we use a tabletop oscillating fan instead when we need them.
And I know what you're thinking. That will not keep you cool.
I think you could argue the merits of whether it's as powerful as a ceiling fan or not, but it's worked fine for us.
I think it's not as powerful as a ceiling fan on high. If you keep your fan on high all the time, it might not do it for you. We had ceiling fans in our first house and we kept them on low or at most medium, and I think it can compete.
Yes. So I bring it up, one, to answer the question, because we get that all the time. Like, oh my gosh, how do you survive without ceiling fans?
I love my table fans.
I also bring it up because I think what we've done also is we made sure that we were buying fans that also looked good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And can we talk about how cute they are? Because they look, to me, nicer than a ceiling fan, and they work well. And I still get to pick a chandelier. Like in my bedroom, I have a Capiz chandelier, and I got to pick a pretty table fan. So I got two cute things instead of one.
Yeah, so we've had two fans that we really love, one in our daughter's room and one in our room. They're both metal. Our daughter's is like a nice tealy blue color that fits in with her decor. And we've just kind of got a silver one. It almost looks like steampunky in a way.
Yeah, it just looks industrial and clean. It's a Hunter fan. We'll put links in the show notes of the exact ones because we have bought some bogeys, let's say.
Well, and they're not like the basic like plastic one with those giant like keyboard buttons on the bottom.
Yeah, seriously. They're like a blender.
Exactly. They're not one of those blender fans.
But we have had a few that did not work well and kind of fell apart and died over the years. And then we figured out the right brands or the right types. So we'll link those in the show notes for you. But the key is if you have a room that's hot, but you don't feel like messing with switching out a light fixture for a ceiling fan, this is a great option. And also the fact that you can put them away in the off season. I don't always. I mean, 24/7, we have the blue fan in our daughter's room, but we can stow ours away if we just don't feel like staring at it all winter long. So that's another nice thing. They're just easy to take from room to room. For example, if we do a project in the garage and we're painting something and we want some ventilation, it's so easy to bring the table fan in there too. And it does a good job at that.
Should we tell how when we sent photos of our son's room once to a magazine, they had to remove the fan?
Yeah.
Because it was deemed too dangerous.
It's not child safe to have a fan in the room. But, you know, it didn't have like open holes where they could stick their fingers.
Yeah, it was not a faceless fan.
It had like a big cage that you couldn't even get a baby pinky into. But, you know, the things you do for magazines. Thanks for listening. Young House Love has a podcast where we're fans of fans and we're also fans of you guys.
And if you happen to consider yourself a fan of this podcast, please do us a solid and tell a friend, family member, your local home improvement store cashier, you know, anyone who might get a kick out of DIY talk mixed with the occasional country rap cover song.
And keep telling us what you do while you listen. Like Heather B., who binge listened to 16 episodes on a road trip with her daughters, who, surprise, were listening all along and found it hilarious that I didn't know how to take a bath.
And check out younghouselove.com/podcast for all the bonus links, photos, and info from this episode, like some of the Richmond Rehabbers before and after photos and that twangy Property Brothers music video.
And that picture of me rocking my nerdy headphones.
Later. Bye!
Did I say Martha Stewart Living? I think there's just Martha Stewart now.
Is that not the same?
I think it's different.
Think you're thinking of Martha and Snoop.
No, Snoop and Martha. Martha and Snoop. Who got first billing? I think Martha would get first billing.
I think she does, yeah. Anyways.